Our New Year series has seven parts to it. What I call the New Year Manifesto. It has seven parts to it. Number one is decision, which I've shared with you. Number two, dreams, which I am sharing. I'm going to part two of dreams. Number three, which I'll begin next week, is direction. Next week, I'm talking on direction. Finding purpose in Christ. Number four is daring. The courage to confront your fears. The capacity to confront your fears. Number five, disassociation. Number six, discernment. And number seven, deadlines. This morning, I'll continue from where I left off last Sunday. I was talking to you on dreams. And last Sunday, the title was From a Dreamer to a Dream Maker. How to live your dream life. This morning, I am speaking on dreams versus fantasies. How to avoid nightmares and live your dream life. Dreams versus fantasies. How to avoid nightmares and live your dream life. If you believe your life will change today, give the Lord the highest praise. Father, this morning, speak through me, bless through me, touch through me, transform lives through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We ended lockdown on Friday. The Lord moved amazingly. The word of the Lord was sharper than any two-edged sword. And many people were blessed. So you see my voice is a bit low, but allow me to flesh today. My voice is a bit low, but you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. The word will come to you, sharper than any two-edged sword. Are you ready? What a church. What a church. Okay, so let's go. Now, last week, I tried to lay the foundation to establish what a dream is. From Proverbs 3, verse 19, Good News Translation, the Bible said, the Lord created the earth by his wisdom. So I discussed with you what I call creative wisdom. And I said, everything around you was created by someone else's mind. The person used creative wisdom to create everything around you. All the things you enjoy in life were created by somebody's mental capacity. I also established that every human being has creative wisdom. Every human being has creative wisdom, and you have creative wisdom. I also said that whatever you imagine, you can create. And I said at the level of imagination is dream. And then at the level of invention is a dream maker. At the level of imagination is a dreamer. At the level of invention is a dream maker. I also established last week that God has wired our minds differently. And the nature, the way God wired your mind will determine what you are able to create. I defined dream last week that your mind is a cinema showing the films of your future. So dream is the film, that imagination that you see in your mind, that is dream. Now, so allow me now to go on to teach what I'm going to teach you today. Dreams versus fantasies. How to avoid nightmares and live your dream life. Our introductory scripture from the NIV. Proverbs 12 verse 11. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies will have no sense. In other words, they are stupid. Do you understand? Can I read the scripture again? And you know, when I see the word work, I get excited. I get excited. Those who work their land. So the writer was writing to farmers. They were a community of farmers. So he said, those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies have no sense. They are stupid. They are fools. Now, so there was a comparison here. Those who work and those who chase fantasies. What is the writer trying to say? In other words, when you don't work, and yet imagine that you will become successful, you are a chaser of fantasy. I want to show you something very soon. Now, fantasy chasing is the pursuit of dreams with lazy hands. Fantasy chasing is the pursuit of dreams with lazy hands or lazy attitude. Proverbs 10 verse 4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. I don't care how many hours you pray in a day. I don't care how many days you fast. If you are not diligent in the pursuit of your dreams, you are only chasing fantasies. I don't care how many prophets will prophesy over you. I don't care how sharp that prophet who prophesied over you is. If you don't work hard towards your dreams, you are chasing fantasies. When I've shared this testimony here over and over, when mommy agreed to marry me, mommy had a friend. When mommy introduced me to that friend, you know what that friend said? She said, Olivia pa, yepe abrofua wari away. He said, for me, I'll marry a white man. And at that time, where we grew up, we only saw white people on TV. Oh, you could be in Adaraka for 5 years, you will see one white person. But the white people who came to town around that time will live in airport residential area and other and cantonment and other places. They never came through Adaraka. But this woman believed that she was going to marry a white man. Mommy and I had married for over 25 years before she got married. Do you know who she got married to? A black man darker than me. Her life wasted in pursuit of something that was virtually impossible. I pastored a group of young guys. Went to their house to visit them. I was their youth pastor. Nice house. Able-bodied young men. I think there were four in number. All of them have finished secondary school. They could go to the university. But their parents were in England. And at that time, it was fashionable. Only few people could travel to England. And their parents were working on their documents to come and take them to England from morning till evening. You get up in the morning, order wache, and if you see the wache on leaves, huge, and all of them muscled guys. If you see them, handsome, thick, tall, fair-colored guys. In the morning, wache was the waited to be taken to England. In the afternoon, Banku was the waiter to be taken to England. In the evening, Kenke was the waiter to be taken to England. And they had this locally manufactured gym equipments in their house. And if you go there, they are lifting it. It's like, England, here we come. England, here we come. And all the time, do these conversations about when we get there, what we will do in 6 months. I'll come and build a house. In 12 months, I will do this. I will marry a white woman and we will live here. Oh, they had all these ideas. Then one day I called them and said, you know, whilst you are waiting to go to England, can I advise you? Start a university. Go to university. In the middle of schooling, if the English opportunity comes, leave and go. Three of them listened. Today, all of them are prosperous, successful. In fact, I think all of them now live in England. They've built. Their senior brother told somebody, this Pastor Titi Ofe, he doesn't want us to progress. We are going to England. He says we should stay here. Do you know that the parents could not take them? That guy now lives in a Ghana rural community. Their senior brother. And still depends on the young brothers in England to send him money. Because he was a fantasy chaser. That nearly happened to me when I finished my O-levels. I spent almost all my time at the American Information Center. It was a library around Liberation Circle. Oh, yeah, you know there. I was there every day. I had seen a magazine. I read a magazine called Ebony. And inside that magazine was the Pensacola College. I said, I will go to Pensacola College. Somebody told me, when you go to American Information Center, you'll get more information. I spent almost all my time. I didn't want to continue school again. I'm going to America. I will go to Pensacola College. And I just realized that Pensacola College, I think, was a technical school or something. I didn't even know. I was bent on going. Oh. And all I did was to go and sit at the American Information Center and have this air condition on me. And I'd be reading magazines, not even reading magazines, watching pictures in magazines. At that time, there were the guys like Arsenio Hall, and although they were young guys, and you see them with the magazine in their suits. I wanted to be one of them. I saw this suit being advertised. It was shorts with suit, three-piece. And a hat. See the hat I've been wearing? Oh, I'm living my childhood dream. Oh, and then I will look at it and say, one day, I will buy this some. And then one day, my mother saw the magazine with those things. And my mother told me, hey, this thing, your father used to order it from abroad. I said, I will be in my father's shoes. I will one day be ordering this from abroad. Oy. Then one day, I was praying. And the Lord said, son, you are chasing fantasies. Get up. Do something with your life. I'm talking to those girls here right now who feel that that brother is a useless brother and you are waiting for some useful brother to come around. There is no already made material anywhere. You take raw materials and you build those raw materials into finished products. Am I speaking to someone here? Fantasy chasing is like a drunkard who is seeing stars and thinks he can touch the star. Fantasy chasing is like a drug addict who is high and is standing on that high building and thinks he can jump and land safely. Fantasy chasing had destroyed a lot of people. Fantasy chasing is like a 419er. A young man who says, I will dupe somebody. One day I will get 1 million. One day I will get 1 million. And the person is growing gray hair and is still waiting for that 1 million and never comes. A fantasy chaser is a lotto forecaster. I grew up knowing people who were staking lotto. And every weekend they believed they were going to win. Every weekend they believed they were going to win. counterpart. When the counterpart for last 2 weeks. In Tebebo, they have analysis and their figures. And the way they can sit down and do the figures. And then underline, too sure, Ebeba. Three sure, Ebeba. Then they will stake, and they have been staking for 20 years, 30 years. They have become addicted to it, and they are staking, and they have used their life to do nothing, and nothing has happened. Now it's your turn. Whilst others have been training to play football, and they are earning $90,000 a week, £120,000 a week, £250,000 a week, you are sitting in a kiosk doing bet, thinking that one day, boom. Today I brought you a message of deliverance. I want to share something with you very soon. I brought you a message of deliverance. When the devil succeeds in hijacking your mind and start showing you cartoons instead of real movies, you are in trouble. I've seen young men who have wasted their lives and wasted their opportunities pursuing things that are not possible. And I want to share something with you. Are you ready for what I'm going to share with you? Now, this message tonight is more of a testimonial message. It's about my life. I'm going to tell you how God took me from nowhere and brought me to this place. And I'm going to share with you the 13 characteristics of a true dream. If you are really dreaming and you are not fantasizing, there will be 13 characteristics accompanying your dream. First, I want to show you a picture. It's called the Titi Affairs Poverty Exit Plan. The Titi Affairs Poverty Exit Plan. Few years ago, I lived in uncompleted building on this place. I was a squatter here. No water, no electricity, no toilet facilities. Just across the coastal estates, where they now, I think it's a block manufacturing place now. There used to be some house there. I used to live in with mommy. Yeah. You, all of you were there. You are all witnesses to it. One day I said, I am tired of poverty. I want to get out of poverty. I am tired of poverty because all the people in the church started copying my poverty lifestyle. I had only one green suit that was given to me by my brother when I met him in Hamburg in 1996. I brought that suit down. You remember that green suit? I dashed it to you, isn't it? Oh, I was poor. Some people were poorer than me. Inside the suit, everything was torn. I used to wear that suit with T-shirt and my one trousers. Very soon, Apostle Abi, all of them started wearing suit with T-shirts. I just said to the Lord, Lord, these people think it's fashion, but it's poverty. The one day I got angry at poverty and I said, I'm going to walk out of poverty. I gave myself 7 years. Because a dreamer is patient. I gave myself 7 years to get out of poverty. And I developed a poverty exit plan. This was a dream to get out of poverty, a poverty exit plan. The first 4 years, I said, I'm going to convert my talent into a skill. I was going to convert my talent into a skill. The stage one was the discovery of my talent. Stage two was the training of my talent, the development of it. Stage three was to put my talent at work. And stage four was to build a good name. That was my dream. The last three years after the first 4 years was now selling my skills. I now developed it. I was going to sell it. I set up the African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development to provide short courses. By the seventh year, it had become the Graduate School of Governance and Leadership. Now it is Accra Business School. Very soon it's going to become something else. By the middle of this year, I'll be announcing the unveiling of a bigger picture to you. This year, my personal dream this year is to get 10 times better. So me and my pastoral associates, we have a code. It's called a 10XB, 10 times better. And by June, I'll be unveiling the 10 times better testimony. But remember that I started a project, borrowed 500 Ghana cedis, bought my first Pentium 2 desktop computer for 150 Ghana cedis, bought my first advert in the Daily Graphic for 250 Ghana cedis, and used the rest of the money to buy stationery. Today, here I am. But it was based on a dream. How was I able to change myself from a dreamer into a dream maker? It was based on this picture. Do you know what I did at that time? I used my hands in drawing it. It was a piece of paper. I went to the forest to pray. I carried it. It was under my pillow. It was under in my breast kerchief, in my pocket of my suit. I'll be preaching, it will be there. I'll be praying, I'll be holding it. I'll be sleeping, it will be under my pillow. I said to myself, I'm dealing with poverty. I'm burying poverty in 7 years. So help me God. When I achieved it, by 2010, I had the Graduate School of Governance and Leadership. Within that period, I built an 8-bedroom house and moved in with my family. Within that period, I had bought houses in Community 18 and I started a university. Within that period, I bought lands in different places. Within 7 years, I just changed my life. And I'm going to show you the 13 characteristics I have learned as a result of pursuing this dream, the 13 characteristics. Because when I sat down, I said, how did I get here? How was I able to convert my dream into a reality? How was I able to change myself from a dreamer into a dream maker? I saw 13 characteristics, and I want to share them with you. Are you ready? The 13 characteristics of a true dream. Number one, a true dream must be energizing. A dream is the power behind your performance. A true dream must be energizing. Do you know that for 7 years, Mommy and I worked for 12 hours a day? 12 hours a day. 12 hours a day for 7 solid years. Then we had only Pastor Titi Ofe. We would drop him in school early in the morning. We'll begin to work. We had no office. Yet we worked like something. For 7 solid years, every day, 12 hours. Every day for 12 hours. We'll drive to the Ashimota Forest after we have dropped Pastor Titi Ofe. Go and pray. I had meetings in different places, sending proposals to different places. Mommy and I would share ourselves. You go here, I will go here. For seven years, we went every day for 12 hours. And we didn't get tired. Do you know why? A true dream energizes you. If you are here, sitting here, young man like you, young woman like you, you have no dream. You have no work. you get up, you are watching your phone, you are on your phone. No amount of fasting and prayer can change your life with that attitude. 3 weeks ago, early morning, when we started Bible school, I walked in here, here was a young man sitting here in shorts. Walked to me and said, "Daddy, I am very, very hungry. I haven't eaten. I'm very hungry." I say, "It's 6 a.m. Why should he be hungry? It's 7 a.m. Why are you hungry?" "Daddy, please help me to buy food. Give me some money to buy food." I said, "I will give you a job if you can do it." He said, "Yes, I will do the job, but right now I need money to buy food." I said, "Brother, Sunday morning, 7 a.m., I'm not going to give you money to buy food. Look at you. Man like you, strong muscles like you. You get up from the morning, you are watching a movie, you are playing games, you have no work to do, and you are here in church fasting and praying. And you want God to bless you? God blesses the works of your hands. If you have no work, he has nothing to bless. 12 hours of work. When you walk to Accra Business School and you see the facilities, remember that it was built with energy driven by a dream. I grew up in a local community called Adabraka. There were these women, there were two. They could kinke, very popular kinke. By 6 a.m., people would queue for kinke. This woman would be awake at 2 a.m. and get the morning kinke ready. And the kinke was cooked in big barrels. One was frying fish, the other was in charge of the kinke. Her nails are all gotten darkened and black. And this woman will stand on stones and sell the kinke while the kinke is on fire. And we are all killed. And she will put water in her hands like this. She will fetch water, put her hands in the kinke, bring it to you. And people are killed. By 6 a.m., this kinke will be made available. In the afternoon, 12 o'clock, the afternoon kinke will be ready. And you know something we noticed? They did this for so many years, and they were in their late, mid to late 40s. And they did this at 2 a.m. every day and close after lunch. And after lunch, they will go to market, come back, start for the next day. These women had dreams. They wanted their sons to be lawyers and doctors. They wanted their daughters to be engineers and teachers and professors. They worked hard because of their dreams. Whatever woke them up at 2 a.m. every day was a dream. Was a dream to put their children in the university. At that time, we have sisters in our fellowship who will get up at 10 a.m. 9 a.m., they will still be sleeping. And this woman will work. Soon you won't find their children in the community. Where are these guys? Some have traveled outside and attending school, and their parents were selling kinke to support them. One time, mommy said, was going to do an experiment. I should watch her. Mommy said, "All the people having financial difficulties in church, I'm going to call them right now, you'll see. Around 10 a.m., they'll be sleeping." So mommy made calls around 10 a.m. More than 60% of people with financial problems in this church, around 10 a.m., mommy will call, they will pick, and mommy put on loudspeaker. "Yes, mommy. I'm resting small." "Oh," mommy said, "sorry, sorry." Mommy said, "I told you." "We'll call another person. We'll pay." "Yes, mommy. Are you sleeping?" "Oh, sorry, sorry." 10 a.m. "Oh, mommy, I'm just taking a little rest. I'm very, very tired." And then mommy will put it down. "So I told you." Then we started calling the successful people in this church. You call them, they pick their phone. "Mommy, can I call you back? I'm in the office." You call them, they will pick their phone. mommy, please, I'm driving. I'm going somewhere. Can I call you back? You call them, mommy, I'm in a meeting with my boss. Can I call you back? Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., I will call you. Where will you be? Where will you be? There is no substitute to hard work. Prayer is not a substitute for hard work. Fasting is not a substitute for hard work. All hard work brings a profit. So a true dream must be energizing. Those around me will tell you at the age of 56, this year I'll be 56, I still work like a 20-year-old guy. Recently, the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission came to Accra Business School because we have applied to charter. 3 days before they came, I was working with this young man who will stay from morning like today and end the next day. 5 a.m., I will now be walking to the house. Sometimes I was working with some of them. They'll be dozing off. I'll wait for them. It's not their fault. They'll doze off a little. And then they wake up. I say, okay, let's continue. My dream is the power behind my performance. There is no lazy dreamer. There is no lazy dreamer. If you are seeing something in the future, but what you see does not influence your behavior today, you are chasing fantasies. Number two, based on my own experience, I realized that a true dream must be enjoying. The thought of your dream must bring you excitement. Even though we're living in abject poverty here on the Sprinter's Road, anytime I put that paper down and I looked at it, I got excited. I was always happy, always excited. How many of you have even seen me angry? I'm always there smiling, enjoying my life, because when I lift up my eyes, I see my dream. I see a bright future. Can I tell you something? Depression, loneliness is a sign of chasing fantasy. If you have a dream, you are pursuing that dream, you never get depressed. I was living in an uncompleted building. My body lived there, but my mind lived in some of the best houses on the Sprinter's Road here. Today, whatever I pictured with my mind, I have become. Are you here with me? If your dream is a true dream, you will have the joy of the Lord. You'll be enjoying life. You don't have time for anger, bitterness, hatred, and petty things. Your focus engages your thoughts, and you are happy. Number three, a true dream must be engaging. Dreamers are busy people. They keep working on their dreams till it becomes a reality. At one point, mommy and I were so busy pursuing our dreams. Even now, sometimes by the time I get up and I call mommy on phone, she's already in the office. One time she was telling someone, we met in the morning for breakfast, and she told the person who came to serve us, do you know I haven't seen my husband in the last 24 hours? In the last 24 hours, we live in the same house, but this is the first time we are meeting in the last 24 hours. Your dream must keep you busy. If you see that you have too many time in your schedule and you are calling people, sometimes you know how people can call you, Charlie, where are you today? I won't come see you. And they are frustrated. They have no place to go. They have too much time at your disposal. It's a sign that you are a fantasy chaser. Your dream will keep you busy. You have no time for gossip. You have no time for petty things. You are too busy to take a phone and discuss somebody's matters. You are discussing business, not people. Are you here? Ask the Bible school students. Ask the pastoral associate. Nobody has time to lazy around. We are too busy. We are engaged. Nobody has time to lazy around. Like, take your phone Check what you did yesterday. The number of calls. iPhone will show you the number of hours you spent on your phone. Go back there. Check it. There are some of you, even with the yam phone, the way you spend time on your phone. If you get a smartphone, you'll be in trouble. Based on my own experience, dreamers are very busy people because they are engaged by their dreams. It's only in Africa that someone will say, I am getting a leave to go and sleep. True dreamers don't sleep more than 6 hours a day. So for those of you who are sleeping 12 hours a day, I want you to know that you are sleeping your destiny away. Number four, based on my own experience, a true dream must be endangering. I left Europe in 1997 because the Lord said I should come down. My wife resigned from her work and we moved to Spinters Road. We didn't know where the next meal is going to come from. But today, here we are. A dream that will not take you through the valley before getting you on the mountaintop is not a dream at all. A dreamer is courageous. A dreamer is able to confront his fears. How could I? Do you know when I started the African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development, I had only diploma in theology. It was supposed to be an impossible dream for me. Yet today, we are here. By June, I will give you the biggest announcement of my life. This year, I must be 10 times better. And the risk I took in coming to the Sprinter's Road, the risk I took to come here and start this church. In fact, the story about us living in an uncompleted building is even a better story. 4 months before we got that uncompleted building, we had no place to live, no place to stay. My wife and I, we have packed our things to where my mother was living. And we're going up and down. Reverend Mills here, Dr. Mills here, was then living with his wife in Dansuman, chamber and a hall. And where they were living, they had no bathroom. One day, mommy and I left here. We're having a fellowship then. We're praying some people here. We left here late night. It was raining heavily. We had no place to sleep. And then I remembered that my big brother lived in Dansoman. We drove there. He opened his door at around 11 p.m. and saw me and mommy wet because the car we were using was an old car and the top, we couldn't close the top, the open top, so water was coming inside mommy's side of the building, of the car, the window there. We were using duster to cover it and the rain just entering. Both of us were wet with our son. About 11 p.m. in the night. Heavy rains. We got there and he said, man of God, why? I said, bears have nets, foxes have holes, but the son of man has no place to lay his head. He said, come in, come in. They moved their chairs from their hall. They were poorer than us. And perched us there. The next day we went to bring our bed. Put it in their hall and we use something to partition it. Anytime I want to praise the Lord with mommy, we have to wait for them to go out. Oh, yes. Today, do you know my problem? Every night I have to decide where to sleep. Whether I'm sleeping on a penthouse, I'm sleeping here, or I'm going somewhere else. The Lord has blessed us. But how did we get here? We took a step of faith. We endangered our lives. But today, we are here. I said this is a testimonial sermon. Number four, Number four. Number five, a true dream must be encouraging. A true dream must be encouraging. Sometimes when I share my story, people ask, how did you survive it? I survived it because I had a dream. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mommy survived it with me because she saw the light at the end of the tunnel. She could see that we are in a tunnel, but there's a light at the end of it. Your dream is the light at the end of the tunnel. Without a dream, you'll be discouraged in life. There were several times where we went to church. After fasting and prayer, you would get to the chapel. For one day, we went to the chapel in one of the services. Only two people attended, but I had a dream. I wasn't discouraged by the absence of people. I knew God was taking me somewhere. I pray that God will make you a great dreamer. Number six, a true dream must be enforcing. A true dream must be enforcing. Your dream is the law that regulates your behavior. Your dream is the law that regulates your behavior. You know, when you are failing, when you look like, it looks like you are failing, nobody. Today, many people claim me. This one say he's, even people that taught me one semester in a Bible school that I paid, wasn't free. One semester in a Bible school that I paid. And they gave me an accredited diploma. Even those people still claim that I am their child. Oh, Titi Ofe, Titi Ofe is my son. I taught him in Bible school. And this one, so Titi Ofe is my son. There are people, now I'm confused that who is my real father. I have to ask my mother. You understand? There are many people who believe that they nurtured me, grooming, but one of the people that really contributed into my life is Reverend Mills. I lived with him when I was going to Bible school. It was he who gave me my bag for Bible school and gave me a suede shoe, brown suede shoe. It was the only shoe he had. So I used it for Bible school in the week. And then the weekend, he will use it for church. The wife gave me 10 exercise books, a pen, a pencil, two jotters. And every morning, he will find transport for me to go to Bible school. Every morning, he'll find transport for me to go to Bible school. Today, here I stand. Now, I was one day, I was just thinking, when Mommy and I came here on the Sprinter's Road, the Reverend Mills was in America. I had nobody, was just the two of us. Who wanted to associate with somebody that looked like a failure? Nobody. One day, I was asking myself, Lord, how did I get here? The Lord said, my grace and self-leadership. You were. Nobody told you when to go and pray. Nobody told you when to go and evangelize. Nobody told you when to go and visit people. You did all these things yourself because your dream regulated your behavior. Do you understand? Today, there are people that you have engaged. If you don't stand on them to work, they will not deliver. They are not dreamers. They have no dream. I came here alone. No supervisor, no commander. I was like the ant. Yet I stored my provisions at the right time. Now I'm the head of this church. I'm the head of my family. I'm the head of Accra Business School. I could do anything I want. But because of a dream, my behavior is regulated by my dream. I told you, Mommy is the first woman I proposed to, the only woman I have known in my life. All the while, I knew I'll become a great man of God. And I don't want anyone to accuse me of anything. I focused on building a good name instead of a great name. My dream regulated my behavior. When you see all these boys in church taking drugs, smoking weed, taking alcohol, and they are walking around with girls, and they have nothing planned. They don't have dreams. They are fantasy chasers. Don't be in the company of people that nothing regulates their behaviors. No. So those of you in the Bible school, watch out for those who dodge classes, those who dodge money. If you are in Bible school and you can dodge morning devotion, you have no dream. Oh, yes. How can you be in the Bible school and dodge morning devotion? How can you be in the Bible school and dodge lectures? Can I tell you, my nickname in the Bible school was Ajos. Do you know how I got the name Ajos? You know, I like using braces, suspenders. One day, I wanted to use one, and I had no money. I had no money, so I went to buy elastic. No, they have the big ones. I bought one, punched holes in it, and connected to some buttons inside my trousers. And the trouser was my father's old trouser, huge, big trouser. And I had no money to go to school. I was to leave Adabraka to Latebi Okoshi. So I was able to get myself from Adabraka to Kaneshi by the help of Dr. Mills. And I had to do the next, I had to walk. When I started walking, the elastic started coming up. A police officer directing traffic saw me and stopped directing the traffic, started laughing. If a police officer laughs at you, you are finished. It was there that I realized that the trousers has reached here. When I got to Bible school, the first guy who saw me is Kwe. You remember, you were in Bible school with me. When Kwe saw me, Kwe said, "Hey, Ajos." That was the end of my life. My nickname became Ajos. That day, when Bible school closed, I couldn't go home. I sat down, folded the trousers like this, removed my shirt, waited for everybody to go before I left. But today, here I stand. Here I stand. Reverend Mills will bear me out. I'll come from Bible school, take 2 hours sleep, and I will pray the whole night till the next morning, and I'll go to Bible school. I will put myself on a long fast. I said, I'll be doing 3 days. We get to the third day. I said, can I push the fourth day? We get the fourth day. Can I push the fifth day? Reverend Mills, myself, and one of our friends went for retreat in Reverend Mills' brother's house. When we got there, some way, somehow, I don't know what Reverend Mills told his brother. The man had prepared gobe and other things in the fridge, with bananas and things. Reverend Mills and Brother Joe decided that, what is the essence of fasting when there's gobe in the fridge? And they will testify to this. I stayed focused. I fasted, pushed myself, and continued to push myself, and continued to push myself. My dream was the enforcer. My dream was the enforcer. My mom is here. My mom will tell you, amongst her children, I was the least troublesome. I was the one. One time, I accused her that when you don't see me, you don't look for me. But when you don't see my big brother, you get up going to look for him. He said, because when I don't see you, I'm not worried about you. Because my mother saw that at that tender age, as a teenage boy, my dream regulated my behavior. What wakes you up is a dream. What keeps you working when others are sleeping is your dream. A true dream must be enclosing. Your dream will take you away from some people, and some people will walk away from you. It was because of the dream of Joseph that his brothers sold him. If all your friends you have had all your life are still with you, it's because you are not a big dreamer. Your dream will keep some people away from you. Your dream may be a threat to some people. For some people, when you start talking about your dream, they feel threatened by what you are planning to do and become. They will walk away from you. I've known Dr. Mills for how many years? Over 30 years? Getting to 40 years. Why? You don't have any friend? Why are you sticking with me for 40 years? But you know, this man believes in my dream. Two people older than me that celebrate me, they are not threatened by what God has done in my life, Dr. Mills and my big brother. Dr. Mills raised me. He actually mentored me. Today I'm a bishop. He is not. Today I've been among the 100 most influential people in this country. And yet this man celebrates me. But others have walked away from me. But you see, you yourself must understand that your dream, because of your dream, not everybody can be your friend. Do you understand? There are people you must walk away from. They will discourage you. When we came here on the Sprinter's Road, the first 4 years, we had no contact with anybody, and we were deliberate about it. God, the few times we met people, they questioned my sanity. Are you sure God wants you to do this? Are you sure this is the right thing to do? And when people begin to question your sanity, you begin to doubt yourself. So I ran away from a lot of people. The time they realized I was on TV3. The time they realized I was on City FM. And then when they saw it, they came back and said, oh, we have never doubted you. But they did. A true dreamer will sometimes walk away from people. And sometimes people will walk away from you. Don't worry, because sometimes your success reminds them of their failure. And anything that makes you feel guilty, you hate that thing. It's not everybody who walks away from you that you have offended. They are offended by your success. Allow them to go. Don't pursue them. Number 8. Let me conclude quickly. Number 8. A true dream must be enlisting. Even though people will walk away from you, there are others that will be attracted to you because of your dream. If all everybody is going away from you because of your dream, there will be something, then there is something wrong. Your dream must attract other people to you. I believe that Charles, Ben, Xavier, the Canadra, some of you here, those who are working with me at Accra Business School, you are around me because my dream has enlisted you. I'm surrounded by very loyal and faithful people. Even in church, I can talk about Elder White. Without him, without whom, this, when we move here, we couldn't have survived. Pastor Bina and the rest, their commitment to this vision. Apostle AB and the rest. Apostle AB has spent all his youth around me. And the rest, they are around me. Why? Because of my dream. Elder Wundu, Elder Ita, I'm talking about the Wooden Structure graduates. Pastor Henry came late, but his amazing commitment to what I do has been amazing. So you always have people that will be there for you. They will believe in your dream. They will stand with you, and they will help your dream come to pass. Your dream is like a magnet. It's a true dream. Will attract the right people around you. Number 9, time is up. Your dream must be enduring. Your dream must be enduring. Look at how I talk about Accra Business School, as if I had no challenges. My first conference was successful. My second conference was a failure. The story of Accra Business School from the beginning was a rise and fall story. But I didn't give up, because a true dream is enduring. True dream is enduring. Don't give up on that dream. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. One day, will become a mega thing. Only 6 private universities in this country are qualified for something. Accra Business School is one of them. But where we started from, I remember the mommy started his career, her career as a secretary. So somebody dashed me a desktop. The person collected it later. But the person says, I did not announce it, so he has come to collect his thing. But mommy taught me how to type using that desktop. So after I lost that one, I bought a new one. And I was supposed to do a conference, and I was preparing my notes to be printed. In the middle of the night, mommy heard me typing. And mommy came to the hall. He said, you are the one typing. I said, yes. He said, do you know why I got up? The way you were typing fast, I thought you had brought somebody in to type for you. I said, my dear, you don't know what is happening to me. I am a dreamer. I must learn. So I learned how to type myself. The first few years of running African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development, myself and Charles, we were designing our own adverts for Daily Graphic. I got a guy who knew how to use CorelDRAW then. So you come and design for me and go. But I had to advertise every week. I wasn't getting him every week. So anytime he came to design, I would look at how he used all the tools on CorelDRAW. One day, he was not available. I called Charles. I said, Charles, let's design our own this thing. I opened CorelDRAW. I will hit on the tool. The thing will vanish. Then I'll put up the computer and put it on again. And I'll click on CorelDRAW. I will hit on this. I will hit on this. The time I realized I had designed my own adverts. Took a Daily Graphic and I said to myself, I'm designing myself now. Kept designing. Now I have a graphic designer. But you see, all my sermons, before he comes here, I'm involved with him. We can be up in the middle of the night, still working. Your dream must have the capacity to endure. And the endurance of your dream is dependent on you. Your ability to keep pushing. Don't give up on that dream. It's going to work. A true dream must be encroaching. In other words, it must break every barrier. A true dream must break every barrier. I told you, I started when Accra Business School got chartered. I had just gotten my master's. But I built the whole of Accra Business School alone. Up to now, except our foreign programs, every program in Accra Business School was developed by me. There is no barrier to a dreamer. Having learned accounting and finance before, our embassy, accounting and finance, is one of the best in the country. I developed it. Our MSc, international relations, I developed it. Our MSc, human resource, I developed it. Almost every content, our global executive MBA, I developed it. Yet I'm a preacher. Why? Because a dream has no barrier. Number 11, a true dream must be entrepreneurial. A true dream must put food on your table and must put food on other people's table. If a dream is not putting money in your pocket, it's a fantasy. That's why mommy and I can pastor this church all these years without taking a penny from this church. Those who count the money will see. Mommy's tight. Mommy pays tight almost every week. Number 12, a true dream must exalt Christ Jesus. A true dream must exalt Christ Jesus. Every true Christian, your dream must have Jesus at the heart of it. Recently, we had a team visitor from GTEC. They asked me, why do I talk about a prominent Christian business school? Why do I want to put Christian in this? I said, because that's my conviction. This must be a Christian school. And guess what? Almost every lecture I deliver, top executives, wherever I deliver the lecture, I must talk about Jesus. I've walked through the corridors of power and influence. And I will never, ever pursue a dream that will not exalt Christ Jesus. I remember we used to have a guy in this church who was quite influential. Then I started African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development. And guess what? We were struggling. And this guy got me a contract. A very good contract. When he told me about the figures, I was excited. I got prepared and everything. When we met on Sunday, I realized that the people I was to train were selling alcoholic beverage. I said, I cannot. He said, why? Pastor, all this money is going. I said, how can I train people to be efficient in selling alcohol? It's against my faith. But do you know what the guy said to me later? He has gone to be with the Lord. He said, you see, I've been associated with a lot of men of God. But for you, I trust you. He said, the money you saw, and you could let that money go because it would tarnish the image of the body of Christ. I was amazed. Whatever you do as a Christian, you must exalt Christ Jesus. Finally, your dream must be evangelistic. Your dream must be evangelist. Your dream must work for God. When I started running conferences in this country and training, started sharing my testimony. So I'll deliver lectures like this, and at the last end, I'll talk about where I've come from, who my father was. People started getting very uncomfortable. How can you talk all the say all these things about your upbringing? But guess what? At the end of every presentation, I'll make an altar call and people will give their lives to Jesus. Sometimes you see people walking into the training. I mean, a big firm has asked you to come and train their managers. And people are walking in and you know that these people belong to other faiths. And yet you are presenting and the Lord is telling you, share your faith. Evangelize the lost. And you know most of the times when I finish, the people I feared most, the people who will come and tell me, congratulations, I'm very impressed that you could deliver and talk about your faith the way you spoke about your faith. I wish I could also do the same thing. Whatever you do, make sure it is evangelistic. Anybody you meet in the pursuit of your dreams, if the person doesn't know Jesus, introduce that person to Jesus. Thank you very much for joining me. The Lord bless you and keep you.